Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about a heart of a spiritual wise person. And we turn to the beautiful example of wise courage found in the story of Ruth.
Well, she just is, it's truly wonderful. And there are some amazing things about Ruth, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But, Ruth is what courage looks like, and especially wise courage.
Mm-hmm.
A Jewish woman during the time of Israel's judges moved to a foreign country. Her name was Naomi, and her husband had two sons. And they were Mahlon and Chilion, but that doesn't matter to the story. They left Israel because there was a famine, and to survive meant a change of location. And this woman's name was Naomi, and her sons married women from Moab. And that means that they were Moabitesses. And they were foreigners, basically. One was named Orpah and the other was named Ruth. And Naomi's husband died, and eventually her two sons died as well, which, that had to be intense. You're away from all of your relatives. You lose your husband and you lose your two sons. Mm-hmm. Wiped out.
Yeah.
Family.
I'm probably saying something most everybody knows, but I'm realizing that when I run across something I need to ponder, it's really okay to spend a day or more, just imagining what it was like to be Naomi. And then I go back and read it again to see if I've missed a piece of information, something that might crystallize the picture better, and then I ponder some more. So I didn't always see this as necessary, and now I realize that I can't really understand what the passage should mean to me if I don't know what it means to the person who is actually experiencing it. So to imagine you and me taking off with our kids because we had no food in sight to sustain us. Where would we go? Would we go to the coasts? Would we go to Canada?
Someplace south.
Yes, Mexico. And how hard to leave everything. Our house, things that we've made convenient for us, our neighborhood, our parents, coffee shops. Of course, even if there's no food, there'd be coffee, right?
Well, absolutely. They had like falafel shops and stuff like that.
Oh, and siblings and friends. And we don't know how old her kids were or how much stuff they were able to take. So, just a picture, did they, you just don't know.
They probably didn't get two men in a truck. They probably just had to get what they could on their burros.
Probably. But whatever, I imagine, it seems it would be difficult to make a move like that out of desperation rather than thinking about planning, like, I'm going to go spend a year in London or France or Italy. But then to have my sons marry women from that country.
Yeah.
That would make me feel a little more tied there, I would think, but
And more conflicted.
Yeah.
You set the thing up, but it was on a roll.
Yes, and probably always hoping to go back to your homeland. But conflict would be a great word. Anyway, for me, it's impossible to imagine also then the pain of losing your husband in a foreign country and your sons and be left
exposed
with,
would you feel?
Yes, and be left with daughters-in-law and maybe their families. You just don't know. That's the part you can ponder, but you don't really have answers.
It'd make a great made-for-TV movie, wouldn't it? What happened with Ruth and her daughters after her daughter-in-laws afterwards? Mm-hmm. Well, there's an interesting statement, right? As you set that up in chapter 1, verse 6, and we're not going to be able to cover all of Ruth today, but we can paint some of the pictures that are there. The Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So Naomi decided to return to her house, and she released her two daughter-in-laws to make to make a life among their people.
Mm-hmm.
And Orpah, her one daughter-in-law, protested strongly but returned to her people after the conversation. Ruth, on the other hand, pressed the issue, and she had seen something in Naomi's family that she was unwilling to give up, and she was really willing to exchange her heritage for that.
Yeah. So for me, reading it this time, I think this was the first time I really thought about how thoughtful Naomi was being when she encouraged her daughters-in-law to stay in their homeland and not go with her. She had lived through that kind of a cultural shock. The hardship of moving to a completely unfamiliar culture. You know how it is when you go to a restaurant, you can't read the menu and you have no idea what it is. I mean, all those flavors, that's just one thing that's foreign. But, maybe the language, maybe the how they did things, just living with that, just overwhelmed with unfamiliarity. So I can see why she was telling them to stay put.
Yeah.
And not uproot themselves. It was a kind thing. So yes, Ruth must have really experienced things that enveloped her with the taste of good, a taste of God, to make her so committed to go with Naomi.
Well, and as Naomi makes this pivot, you know, then you can imagine just the story unfolding and how it impacted each one of the other gals. And this is in chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And I wrote, what I wrote here, this is the resolve of a wise, courageous heart. Then she said, behold, this is Naomi talking, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Now, that's interesting. Uh-huh. Those phrases are tied together.
Yes, they are.
She went back to her people and her gods. Go ahead and follow her. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And she's talking about the finality of the decision she's making. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. Mm-hmm. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her.
Oh, man, that is commitment. You know, that's really different than thinking, I'm with you all the way, unless I don't like your family
right.
or your friends
wasn't
or your
very
politics.
Conditional. Of course, they were in kind of a different situation. Yeah.
I know, but she didn't have to go. And, you know, once
no.
she got there, she could have thought, I can start, you know, conspiring on how to go back. The point is that she made a huge promise, but probably the way it sounds is that it was a more overarching commitment she was making, not just to Naomi, but to Naomi's God.
Yeah, and her son, obviously, Naomi's son had obviously made a good choice on Ruth because mm-hmm. she was definitely a deep person of character. Mm-hmm. Well, this then kind of unfolds over into chapter 2. Through her obedience, Ruth comes under the protection of an influential relative, which is an intrigue and a story in and of itself. You've got the cultural aspects of it, and you've got the human aspects mm-hmm. of it to kind of wade through. But he also notices her character. And I love this in Ruth chapter 2. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, so there's real humility in all of this, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Boaz, the relative, Naomi's relative, replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. And what a blessing to see her obedience responded to, not just in a week, not just in a month. It took some time for it to happen, but to have that come full circle and that courageous wisdom just really paid off for mm-hmm. Ruth and her new relationships.
Yeah, and the backstory on this is that the harvesters were going through, and she was coming through with her little container or bag or whatever and gleaning whatever they had dropped.
Whatever they left.
And
the pickings.
Yes, and Boaz thought, who is this gal who is working so hard? And that's what's interesting because the big picture in this is that she ends up in the lineage of Christ, but the smaller picture I'm talking about is that when we seek protection from God, he responds to that, because Ruth's reputation about her good character was noted, because obviously
right.
someone was watching her doing this gleaning, this harvest, or not really, she was following the harvesters. And it's just interesting because she wasn't tooting her own horn, but obviously somebody had watched her and then found out about her, so that when Boaz asked, they knew the answer.
Well, yes, and not the big deal about this is not only was she able to glean grain so that she and Naomi mm-hmm. could eat, but she also came under his protection.
Yeah.
And so he basically covered her, because, you know, you get the impression, well, maybe they were all of the same family units or whatever. It was the harvest. There were people there probably from all of the surrounding nations. So to be protected and to be provided for, what a reward of
yes,
the decisions
because,
that she's made.
Yes, because he told her, keep coming back to this field. And then he told his workers, leave a little extra so it's easier for her to glean what you've dropped.
So apparently Boaz was not her age. He was a little bit older.
Yeah, and you get that impression.
Well, his question was, hey, you know, why don't you go after the younger man?
I mean,
why are you responding responding to me. And so this kind of leads then to Boaz covering Ruth further. Mm-hmm. And he basically decides to exercise his option.
Yeah.
because of how it worked in Israel. You can read all about it. All the people, this is in chapter 4, all the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. We are witnesses to this whole proceeding that's happening. You are willing to take in Ruth and cover her. May the Lord make the woman," and I love this, "may the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve prosperity in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem."
Yeah. That verse, as cool as it is, makes me laugh, because if I take the time to ponder it, I go, now, what is that all about? I mean, that's just not how we talk. We don't speak that way in pictures and blessings, especially here in the Midwest. So honestly, like, how would that sound if we talked to each other like that?
Well, they all knew what, you know, when they brought up Rachel and Leah, this was like a recognition and a promise and a blessing that they would be just blessed beyond their imaginations, you know, in a truly spiritual sense. Ruth, a Gentile then, is redeemed and grafted into the blessings of Messiah. And I want to finish with this. So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife. The Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord." Naomi, who, by the way, her name means bitter. Mara means bitter. She switched out the names. "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be your restorer of life and the sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." Mm-hmm. Chokes me up.
Yeah.
So they named him Obed. And this is the cool part, and you referenced it a little bit earlier. They named him Obed, and his father, or he became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David, who is King David, you know, who is the in the tribe of Judah, from whom the lion will come from the tribe of Judah, who will be Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And what a neat story to see Ruth brought in, you know, from the surrounding nations, from a foreign nation.
Yeah. And, you know, Ruth didn't set out to do something big for God. It seems she just set out with Naomi because she must have seen God there, and she wanted to experience more of that. And she ends up being King David's great-grandmother, which is what you were just saying, and he ends up named in the lineage of Christ, and she seems to just be pure humility.
Yes, she's filled with humility, which is why, you know, this whole conversation started with a courageous heart of wisdom, because, you know, a person who experiences true wisdom is going to be humbled. And she never let it be something that made her exalt herself, but she
was exalted.
Beautiful. Forstream.com is a collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. And we've been enjoying looking at these characters together. We've got more for you coming up. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to forstream.com. There are a lot of resources there. Click on the radio button to find this particular series, but you can also find a lot of different things at forstream.com if you're interested in, you know, that kingdom heart that's inside of you and feeding it.
Together we are finding hope at forthstream.com.